Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. Amen. Well, our scripture reading today in this Gospel of John is not an easy one. Some of the imagery is a little easier to think about, but I ended up pondering these words at length. And I thought a lot about what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples, and perhaps to us as well. John writes his Gospel using a rich diversity of images, metaphors, and analogies. In fact, of all the gospel writers, he most often uses symbolism to convey Jesus' teachings. And these methods often confuse and frustrate, certainly his disciples, and sometimes they do us as well, because the disciples took everything very literally. They wanted to know precisely what Jesus meant. But by using this approach, by using symbolism, the writer of John opens up the scriptures to a timelessness that would not have been possible otherwise. And because of this, these parables, these stories, carry meaning for us down through the generations. And even now, thousands of years later, they hold meaning for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, there is something very comfortable about this imagery of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and of us as the sheep. We have it in our window. We see it every week. I've shared with you before that sheep are not the brightest of animals and can frequently get themselves into trouble, either from a lack of attention or from distractions. So it's probably this fact alone that makes me believe that this comparison is perhaps a pretty good one for us, because we too are easily distracted. But the thought of Jesus as my shepherd, watching out for me, protecting me, providing for me, at least for me, it's an image of peace and great comfort. And it's something that we can all draw on in difficult times. The only way I can try to explain it is to compare this feeling, this sense of well-being, to some other things that you might identify with. For instance, several years ago, I remember going through my mother's house after she had passed away. It's never an enjoyable task. It's always very difficult. But we were sorting through some of the things that she had kept and held on to over the years, and we came across my baby blanket. Do you all have baby blankets? Did you remember that? And I picked it up and I held it and I looked at it and I felt this overwhelming sense of peace and this overwhelming sense of safety just wash over me. You see, the back of that blanket had this fabric. It was a blue fabric and it was finished with little tiny snowmen. And I can see it. If I close my eyes, I can see that baby blanket. And I'd like to say that it was my earliest memory, but I don't think that it was from the memory part of my brain, because it's deeper than that. I think that is more of a feeling or a sense, because as I was just waking up and becoming aware as a child This is one of the very first things that I saw. And it's embedded in me physically. It's a part of me. It's something that I feel sometimes when I'm praying, and I can feel God's presence with me. It's not easy to put these feelings into words, but those little snowmen are important to me. And it's this feeling that I think was what Jesus was trying to describe to his disciples. He wants that feeling embedded within us. He wants to be the voice that we hear, that we first hear. The one that we turn to when we're afraid. The one that we follow and trust. Like a newborn child with their mother or father. I got an example of it a few weeks ago. We were down in Virginia. And our grandson is about a little over 3 months now, 3 months old. And our son Joe is a very hands-on dad. And I'm very proud of him for that. But while we were visiting, Mark, of course, he begins to lose it, as babies do. And Joe can take him and comfort him and whisper to him. And he knows just how to move, how to walk around. And there's something about that that calms that baby in a way that none of the rest of us can do. For us, this is the voice of Jesus. It's a comforting blanket, a soothing voice. The knowledge that someone is holding us and staying close to us. Of course, that doesn't mean we're exempt from pain or from suffering. But it does mean that God doesn't leave us alone in those times. We can take comfort in this and in the knowledge of the saving faith we have in Jesus Christ. Because yes, we are mortal beings of flesh and blood. For a while, all of us face death one day. But when compared to the timelessness of eternity, we truly are a people of great hope. Of course, in the meantime, we're distracted sheep, some more than others. We bump into things, we hit our heads on things, we don't pay attention. We lose sight of the shepherd and where we are in the pasture. We go astray by this or that temptation. Sometimes we stumble into pits of despair, and then we cry out to be found again. But this is the created world that we live in. And I think I'm okay with that, as long as I can keep one eye on that shepherd. I hope you find this comforting as well. I feel it every Sunday when I look up and see that beautiful stained glass window. Because as Jesus warns, there are other forces out there, aren't there? Beyond the sheepfold. Jesus refers to them as thieves and bandits, people that don't have our best interests in mind and are looking only to steal and to destroy. At least twice in this analogy today, Jesus refers to himself as not only the shepherd, but as the gate. The protective barrier between the threats of destruction and the safety of the sheepfold. A physical barrier, a door, between what is safe and what is harmful. It reminded me of one of my favorite verses from 2 Samuel. It's one I often read in the hospitals. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. In him will I take refuge, my shield and the strength of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior." That's 2 Samuel 22:2. You ought to be able to remember that. Lots of twos. But this analogy further confuses the disciples as they wonder, "Well, Jesus, we can see you as the good shepherd, but how can you be a door, a gate?" This metaphor, however, appears quite often in Scripture. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." And then in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." And then in Luke 13, 24, this verse has meaning similar to the meaning of our verse today. It says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able." Even though this verse doesn't say it specifically, we can see how Jesus could be seen as the door itself. For the scripture is clear that those wishing to see the Father must first see the Son. So in one sense, we can look at the door as a passageway. The door is not the house, but it is the way we get into the house. Jesus is the door that leads to God. Therefore, when Jesus says, "I am the door," it's similar to Jesus calling himself the way. He is the way to God, the way to abundant life, and the way to true freedom. So how else might we think of this, of Jesus as a gate or a door? The Reverend Will Willimon suggests that there may be another way of seeing Jesus as this physical barrier, but he suggests that maybe the traffic is moving in the wrong direction. Maybe Jesus is better thought of as the way God gets to us. And rather than thinking of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, we should think of him as the door that allows God to reach us in a way that we can see and we can understand what God's character really is. Well, there's a number of ways we could go. You know, any analogy breaks down when you take it too far. But we could look at different types of doors and what they say about the places that they're on. Last year during the Grange Fair, I remember, we had some guests join us here in the sanctuary for one of our services. You knew there were guests because there were two of about 30 people that made it to church that day. But I know you all go to church at the Grange Fair. But I spoke with them afterwards and asked them how they found us. And they said they simply were walking down the street and they looked up and our doors were open. Someone had opened the doors wide. And they saw that and they felt welcomed. And so they came in through the doors and joined us for worship. And I thought at the time, what a wonderful testimony that is. And then I filed it away because I knew one day I could use it as a sermon illustration. And here it is. But some church consultants actually say the church's front door is the most important part of the church. More important than the sanctuary or the altar or the offices or the kitchen or any of those places. People will form a lot of impressions about our church and our congregation when they look at our door and in those first moments when they pass through that door. We have an initiative underway here in the church right now to improve our signs around the church, both outside and inside. Because as it is right now, if a stranger pulled into the parking lot, either on this side or that side, it might be confusing to them to know where to go. And then once they're inside, if you come in the back, which way is the sanctuary? I've had people kind of wander by my office and look in. And so it's very important that we be aware when there's new people in our presence and we reach out to them. It's a matter of hospitality. If we want to be a welcoming congregation, we need to make sure that we are welcoming to people that are coming through our door. And hopefully by this summer, we'll have some new signs up. So if someone pulls into our parking lot, wherever it may be, they will know which door to come in and be led to the place they want to go. So yes, our physical doors are one way. But perhaps even more importantly than signs in the parking lot are the messages that we give personally each and every day. Did you know that each of you is a door into this church every day? You're a walking sandwich board. You know those big things that you see people beside the road? Some of us have bigger sandwich boards than others. Okay, no comments. But you're a walking sandwich board that people see as a representative of Trinity United Church of Christ, Center Hall. And what you do and how you treat and how you talk to people are a reflection of this church and our mission to be Christ's disciples in the world. And I hope you take that very seriously. Along the same lines, I think it's important that when we say Jesus is the way, we aren't being arrogant or smug about it, but simply confessing that we cannot imagine a way or a means of being with God, the true and living God, except by the way of Jesus Christ. That is, we cannot imagine a doorway to God that isn't in the loving, compassionate, suffering, and self-sacrificial way of Jesus Christ. And our views and actions should bear this out. Now, that's not to say that God is absent to people of other faiths, because as I've shared with many of you, I believe that God can choose to reveal himself in many ways. And who am I to decide what way he can and can't do that? But for me and for us, the Bible is clear. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In the final sentence of our reading today, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In comparison to those forces out there that seek to destroy us, Christ came to save and to give life. A life in Christ is a life lived abundantly. That's what the scripture says. And being a former mathematician, I sometimes take a phrase like this and I flip it around. They call it the converse. And you always look to see if the converse is true. So if I look at the converse, it says a life lived abundantly is a life in Christ. And I looked at that and I think it works. I think it works. But for us, abundance doesn't mean wealth and prestige. It means being in the sheepfold with the shepherd, the one that has our best interest in mind, the one that we can follow and put our trust in, the one that we know will not lead us astray. And as long as we do those things, we will remain in the sheepfold in this life and the next. Amen. Lord God, I thank you for this day, for each one here, and for this imagery of a shepherd and of you as a gate, and a protecting sheepfold, Lord, that keeps us from the evil that abounds around us in this world. Lord, help us to be mindful that we are a door into your church, that as followers of Christ, Lord, that we have an obligation to treat others with respect and dignity, no matter who they may be. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in that each day. Amen.